Well, it's a blessing to sing praises to the Lord. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. So thanks for praising the Lord with us. And now let's turn our attention to the message. Well, a well-known actor commented that he enjoyed playing flawed characters in movies because people could relate better to an imperfect character. Most of us will agree that it's easier for us to understand people who aren't perfect because we know we are imperfect ourselves. Perhaps that's why God included stories in the Bible of people who were deceitful, weak, unreliable, and angry. Take Jacob, for example, who deceived his father so that he would receive a blessing. Then there was Gideon, who was so unsure of God that he asked God twice for proof that he would be faithful to do what he said he would do. And then there is Peter, who we all know very well, who for fear of his own life and safety denied even knowing his friend and Lord three times. But here is the catch. When we read the rest of their stories, we observe that these flawed people were able, with God's grace and help, to overcome their shortcomings and failures and ultimately be useful to God. You see, folks, just like the people who lived thousands of years ago, each of us come with what? Comes with flaws. You know your flaws and failures. And I know my flaws and failures. I'm not here as a perfect man. I have my flaws. I have my failures. But by God's grace, we can overcome those imperfections and become useful to God by leaning on God and His strength. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from His word to deliver to you at this urgent hour. Please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and transformation, is ready and resolved to plant the seed of God's eternal and enduring truth in order to transform genuine born-again believers among us here today more and more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, who is the builder and the bridegroom of the church, and to turn unbelievers among us here from their sin of unbelief, gently and graciously leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the seeker and savior of sinners. So, here's my message in a nutshell. And please, I want you to pay close attention to it with an open heart and an open mind. In His grace, God is able to overcome all our flaws and failures in order to fulfill His greater purposes in the lives of believers far beyond their wildest imaginations. Let me repeat that because it's a little bit long. In His grace, God is able to overcome all our flaws. And as I talk about flaws, think of your flaws and all our failures in order to fulfill His greater purposes in the lives of believers far beyond their wildest imaginations. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here tonight, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to give us a message of great hope today, in such a time when many people in our world are feeling hopeless and helpless. So please, you will do well to pay very close attention to the Bible's message to us today. Today, I would like us to look at the amazing work of God in Jacob's life. How many of you have heard the story of Jacob? Most of you here. I chose Jacob because we can all easily identify with him. We've all deceived. We've all cheated. We've all lied. We've all tried to cover up our sins. And I've done that, you have done that. In other words, we are all Jacobs. But the great news is that God's marvelous and matchless grace in our lives can turn deceivers into devoted worshipers of God, can turn cheaters into committed followers of Christ, and can turn liars into loyal servants of God, just as it happened in the life of Jacob. So please, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to Genesis, the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 46, verse 1 to 4. Would you please listen carefully as I recite this passage from the updated New American Standard Bible. The Bible says, listen carefully to what it says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says from my heart and from my mind. It says, so Israel set out with all he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. He said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will close your eyes. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Well, after hearing the joyful news that his favorite son Joseph was still alive, and Joseph's request to come to Egypt, Jacob, now listen carefully, Jacob, who is now 130 years old, packed up all he had and began his move to Egypt. You see, God is on the move in Jacob's life to overcome all his flaws and failures in order to accomplish his greater purposes in the life of Jacob, far beyond Jacob's wildest imagination. Now, there are several significant spiritual lessons that the Holy Spirit wants us to learn from this passage. So please allow me to share a few of them, just three of them, with you. First of all, the first lesson the Holy Spirit wants you to learn and wants me to learn is about Jacob's submission to God's plan in verse 1. You see, through Joseph, God was now revealing his plan to Jacob. Earlier, God had told Abram in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, these words. God has spoken to Abram, the grandfather of Jacob. It says in verse 13 of chapter 15, God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. And we know that land to be the land of Egypt. So God is not moving to fulfill this promise in Jacob's life. And Jacob must submit to the plan of God, just as you and I have the responsibility of submitting to the plan of God given or shown to you and to me. Notice what the Bible says in verse 1. It says again in verse 1, so Israel set out with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Notice that two things are involved in Jacob's submission to God's plan for his life. You see, today, God has a plan for you, and God has a plan for me. But the question is, will you choose to submit to that plan God will reveal to you today? And you can make the choice like Jacob and submit to that plan, or you can choose to reject that plan. That will not be the first time that will happen. Well, the first thing is that Jacob, the Bible tells us, set out with all that he had. I tell you, folks, sometimes good news can be difficult to believe. Such was the case in Jacob's life. But he set out, not stay put in the same place, spinning the wheels and going nowhere. Sometimes when God calls us to set out, because he's leading us on a plan that he wants to bring about in our lives, we will choose not to set out, but we will stay put, just spinning our wheels and going nowhere. But Jacob, even though this news was difficult for him to believe, set out. Please understand that Jacob was being asked to settle in another country, a change which was very, very surprising to him, for he had never had any thought than to live and die in Canaan. So put yourself in Jacob's shoes for a moment. If God were to ask you to move to another country to live there, where you have never been before, and likely never to return alive, what would you have done? Would you have readily set out like Jacob did? Or would you come up with so many excuses why you should just stay put where you are? I tell you, friends, it's far better to set out in the path God has chosen for you than to stay put and spinning your wheels and going nowhere. Some of you today, that is a word to you, because you have been in a place where you have been spinning your wheels, going nowhere. But God wants you to set out on a plan that he has for you. And would you open your heart to embrace that plan today? It's the choice is yours. Well, the second thing that is involved in Jacob's submission to God, God's plan, is offering sacrifices to God. Stopping first in Beersheba, which means the well of seven. That is what that name means, the well of seven. Jacob offered sacrifices to the God of his father. Beersheba is actually a notable site or place in Israel, about 25 miles southwest of Hebron. Jacob was living in Hebron when the news came to him. And now he journeyed 25 miles to Beersheba, which is on the way to Egypt. It was a favorite place or site of worship for Abraham and Isaac, that is the grandfather and father of Jacob. Now someone says, what's the big deal about Jacob offering sacrifices to the God of his father? What is important about that? Well, I'm so glad you've asked. Please listen carefully now. The last time Jacob built an altar or sacrifice to God was in Genesis chapter 35, verse 1 to 15. I don't have time to read that to you, but you can read it yourself. That was the last time we see Jacob offering sacrifices and worshiping God. Even after Joseph's brothers sold Joseph into slavery and told him that Joseph had been eaten by a wild beast, we never read of Jacob seeking God or sacrificing to God for 10 chapters. Genesis chapter 36 to 45. Jacob never lifted up his heart to God. Well, God, I lost my son. Did he actually die? He never sought God. What's the point? Here's the point. Jacob wasn't seeking the mind of God at all. Nor was he asking God's leading for his life. His spiritual life actually went downhill. Jacob was no longer actively seeking God's guidance for his life. He was simply going through the motions, waiting for his day of death. That was the way he was living. Well, similarly, many Christians today go through the entire week and leave God pretty much out of their lives. They make their own decisions and do what they want to do. Then they come to church or chapel on Sunday or a night like this and are very religious and are willing to do God's will. They think that God's will for them is merely to go to church or chapel and then maybe do a little service for God. And then they tell God good night on Sunday night. The rest of the week, God is not in the picture for their lives. You see, for most of Jacob's life, after Joseph was supposedly eaten by wild beasts, he never sought God. But now the Bible tells us, as he came to Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father. So that is why it is a big deal for the Bible to tell us that Jacob offered sacrifices to the God of his father. Jacob, in other words, was experiencing spiritual renewal at this point of his life. And God is going to move in his life to do something far greater than Jacob ever dreamt of or asked God to do for his life. But the question to you and to me is, do you believe that God can overcome the flaws, the failures in your life in order to accomplish his greater purpose for your life? Do you believe that? And do I believe that? Praise God. Well, even though Jacob might see the ways of God in the wonderful news of his son Joseph, and the son in the friendly invitation of Joseph and Pharaoh, combined with the famine prevailing in Canaan, a divine direction to go into Egypt, yet this departure from the land of promise in which his fathers had lived for so many years as pilgrims was a step which raised serious concerns and fears in his mind as to his own future and that of his family. So now the question is, how did God handle Jacob's concerns and fears? And how will God handle your concerns and your fears tonight? Well, that answer brings us to the second spiritual lesson the Bible wants to teach us in our story. It has to do with something I call a special visitation of God. In verse 2, notice the Bible says in verse 2, God spoke to Jacob, spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here am I," or "Here am I." Before Jacob leaves for Egypt, God speaks to him in the visions of the night. Now, please notice very carefully that the special visitation of God to Jacob came after he had submitted to God's plan for his life by setting out on the path God has shown him and offering sacrifices to God, the God of his father, Isaac. And I thought about this. Have you ever asked yourself, what if Jacob had not set out on his way to Egypt? What if Jacob had not sacrificed to God? Would he have received a special visitation from God? Well, your guess is as good as mine. My point here is that who knows what special visitation of God is awaiting you when you submit to God's plan for your life? Who knows what special visitation of God is awaiting you today when you surrender to Jesus' purpose for your life? You see, the rest of Genesis chapter 46 would not have been written in the Bible had not Jacob submitted to God's plan to set out for Egypt. And may I say to you and to me, the chapters God wants to write in our lives will not be written unless we, like Jacob, follow God's plan for our lives. There are chapters God wants to write with you. You have heard the saying, God is not finished with me yet, right? You've heard that many times. But that means you must allow God to do what He wants to do in your life. But if you choose to do what you want to do, then saying that statement, "God is not finished with me yet," is not going to mean anything for your life, because you are not allowing God to do what He wants to do in your life. Now, please notice in this special visitation of God, God called Jacob by name, as Jesus calls everyone by name. If Jesus were to speak to you tonight, He will call you by name. He called Jacob the name, his old name, Jacob, which means a supplanter. Why did God do that? I thought about that. Why didn't He call him by his better name, Israel? Israel was his better name, which means God's tribes. That was his better name after he wrestled with the angel, which was a manifestation of the Lord Jesus. But God didn't call him by his better name. He called him by his old name. That reminded him of being a supplanter, a deceiver. Why did he do that? Well, please listen. God did that to assure Jacob that he, the mighty God, is able to overcome all his flaws and failures in order to fulfill his greater purposes for Jacob far beyond his wildest imagination. The question to you again and to me is, do you believe that Jesus is able to overcome all your flaws and failures by his grace and goodness in order to accomplish his greater purposes in your life and with your life? Please show by hand if you truly believe that for your life. Praise God. Praise God. Actually, I'm talking still about the special visitation that Jacob had. This is not the only time Jacob had a special visitation of God in response to God. The Bible tells us there were 7 times when God appeared in some form to Jacob. And my prayer is that when you also respond to God, you might be given that special visitation where God will speak to you directly and directing you on a path for you. Now, someone asked, did any good come out of God's special visitation to Jacob? In other words, did it make any difference in Jacob's life for him to have a special visitation of God speaking to him? Well, please listen. God's special visitation to Jacob on that memorable night made a huge difference in Jacob's life. In fact, and indeed, a great dose of good came out of it. It led to many, many sweet promises of God to Jacob in verses 3 to 4. I tell you, folks, you are about to hear some of the sweetest promises of God in the Bible. Please make no mistake about this. Jacob was once flawed, full of failures like you and like me. But by God's grace, God overcame all his flaws and his failures in order to accomplish his greater purpose in his life. That is why God generously and gladly and graciously and heartily gives Jacob some of the sweetest promises you will ever find in the Bible. Notice the Bible says in verse 3 and 4, he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. I will also surely bring you up, and Joseph will close your eyes." Notice before God gives Jacob his sweet promises, he first of all calms his fears. The Hebrew word translated "be afraid" in this context means the emotional and intellectual anticipation of harm. What one feels may go wrong. We all feel things might go wrong for us sometimes in our lives. You see, Jacob was afraid that things might go wrong for him on this journey down to Egypt. You may recall that previously, God had prohibited Isaac, the father of Jacob, from going down to Egypt during a time of famine in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 to 5. Given this earlier prohibition and what had happened to Abraham, his grandfather, in Egypt during another famine, Jacob may well have been fearful and reluctant to go there. And moreover, remember in Genesis chapter 47 verse 9, the Bible tells us that Jacob was 130 years old. So think of a 130 year old man making a journey from the land of Canaan to Egypt. The journey to Egypt was a very long one for such an old man. He feared that his sons might be tainted with the idolatry of Egypt and then forget the God of their fathers. He feared that they might be enamored with the pleasures of Egypt and forget the land of promise. He also was fearful of dying in Egypt and being buried in Egypt. But God calmed all his fears and told him, "Do not be afraid." I want you to tell somebody sitting next to you, "Do not be afraid." Because that's Jesus' word to you. So let me ask you today, what fears do you have? What fears are ruling in your heart today? Is it a fear of abandonment? Or fear of your life not amounting to anything? Is it a fear of death? Or a fear of detention? Is it a fear of the future or fear of failure? Is it a fear of losing your health or losing a loved one? Is it a fear of rejection or ridicule by people? Whatever your fears, let Jesus calm them in your heart today. You see, when we are facing new situations or surroundings, circumstances or challenges, experiencing fear is normal. But Jesus doesn't want you to be paralyzed by fear. Why? If you are paralyzed by fear, it means you are telling Jesus, "You can't handle this situation in my life." So tonight, I urge you to bring all your fears to Jesus, because he's more than able to calm them in order for you to conquer them and become all that he wants you to become. Well, using the language of certainty, God gives Jacob four sweet promises. And you notice that if you are a good Bible student, you see that God said, "I will," three times in this. He's giving Jacob a promise. He says, "I will." He's overcoming his flaws and failures to bless him beyond imagination. The first promise given to Jacob is that, "I will make you a great nation there," that is in Egypt. Oh, how God in his grace is able to overcome all our flaws and failures in order to fulfill his greater purposes in our lives, far beyond all that you ask or imagine. Do you know that you can count on one hand the people in the Bible to whom God made the promise, "I will make you a great nation"? There are only three: Abraham, Jacob, and Moses. But actually, Moses says, "God, don't do it for me." You may be wondering if God actually did that for Jacob. Did he make Jacob a great nation? Well, we find the answer in the second book of the Bible, in Exodus chapter 1, verse 7. The Bible says, "But the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty, so that the land was filled with them." There was a real population explosion of the Israelites in the land of Egypt. What is the explanation for that? Well, the explanation is this: God is making good his promise to Jacob. And may I say to you today, when God gives you a promise, you can count on him to make good on his promise to you. But the question is, will you make good on your promise to God? Sometimes we say, "Jesus, you get me out of this mess. And if you get me out of this mess, I'll serve you for the rest of my life." And then he dies, and then we don't. What's the second sweet promise given to Jacob is, I will go down with you to Egypt. God told Jacob to leave his home and Israel and travel, that is the land of Canaan, and travel to a strange and faraway land. But God assured him by promising to go with him and take care of him. Jacob was promised God's presence with him. Please listen, when you go where Jesus wants you to go, you will certainly have Jesus with you. That is a promise that never fails. And the third promise is that God says, I will also surely bring you up again. In other words, Jacob, you are afraid that you might never come back to the land of promise. I'll bring you back. And then the fourth and sweetest promise is that he says, and Joseph will close your eyes. Literally, Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. This is a promise of dying peacefully in the presence of his beloved son Joseph, whom Jacob thought he would never again see in this life. He thought Joseph was gone. I'm never going to see Joseph again. But here God was promising him, you will come back and Joseph will be the one who will attend to you when you die peacefully. So what difference does this message make in your life and my life? First of all, if you are a genuine born-again believer in Jesus Christ, this is the difference it is to make in your life. Be assured today that in his mighty grace, Jesus is able to overcome all your flaws. Think of all the worst flaws and failures of your life. Jesus is able to overcome them to accomplish something greater in your life. So simply acknowledge your flaws to Jesus today and sincerely admit your failures to Jesus today, whatever they may be, and steadfastly accept Jesus' forgiveness for your flaws and failures, and bring whatever fears you have to Jesus today, because he's willing to take your fears and calm your heart. And believe with all your heart that he will make good on his promise to you. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today that your flaws and failures will define you for the rest of your life. Why? It's because Jesus alone is able to overcome your failures and your flaws. In fact, if you continue to dishonor and distract Jesus, failure will knock you down again and again. But how? All that can change for you today. How? You simply tell Jesus that you are a sinner. You turn to Jesus from your unbelief today. And you trust in Jesus that he died on the cross for your sins. That he was buried to put away your sins as far as the east is from the west. And that he rose again on the third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy and righteous God. So the ball is now in your court. Anyone, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and God has spoken to you and you want to put your fears in his hands, come here, we will pray for you. And if you are not a believer, you come to me and I will pray for you.